Today's topic is very unique, like I mentioned before we start the puja. We are going through the 18th sensory. This 18th sensory consists of three sets of sixes, and the 18th sensory are very important. The first sets of six refer to the six internal sense bases or organs that we have. They are the five basic sense organs. So these five basic physical sense organs, as we know, we have the eye that can arise the seeing consciousness. We have the ear that can arise the hearing consciousness. The smell that can arise the smell consciousness. Then the taste that can arise the taste consciousness. Then we have the bodily tactile that can arise the tactile consciousness. And the last one is our brain. Our brain is the last one that one can give rise to mental consciousness, thinking consciousness, or thought consciousness. So these are the first six sets of internal sense organs. Then the second set of six refer to the six respective external sense data. Yeah. So this external sense data that we receive from external is very useful. Yeah. Then the last set of six is the six type of respective sense consciousness. Take for example, our organ of seeing, which is the eye, EYE. For seeing consciousness to arise, we need the sense data to come in, which are color, shape, and form with the light. Then if your mind, the consciousness is located at that organ of seeing, then we can become conscious of what we see. Yeah. But without light as a media, without the color, shape, and form transmitted, we can't see. So the seeing consciousness is condition arising, dependent originating. So we need these three conditions to arise the respective consciousness. So for seeing, we need the organ, which is the eye itself, functioning. Then we need the sense data, which is the color, shape, and form, and the light media. Then we need the consciousness that is trapped within the physical body to arise the contact. Then like the physics experiment, upon contact, the light bulb lights up. When the light bulb lights up, it's like we become conscious of what we see. That's how seeing consciousness come to be. And exactly like the physics experiment, all this arises naturally following nature's law, scientific law, physical law of nature, which is the law of physics. Then if you are mindful and aware, every moment of consciousness is the same. It arises naturally. That's why the Buddha said you don't need a God or Almighty to create seeing consciousness. No need. Everything is natural. When the conditions are there, it arises. Then when it arises, we can become conscious of what we see. So according to the Buddha, he said at the moment of seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. There is no one behind the seeing. And this one we have to meditate to find out. We have to have very stable mindfulness, awareness within, to become conscious or aware of what is happening upon contact. The meaning is very deep and is very easy to understand if you have mindfulness, if you can be aware from within to see how it arises. So that ability to observe through the silent mind is the way forward in meditation. That is how we come to develop the understanding that leads to the wisdom. So at the moment of contact, that consciousness arises, like the Buddha said, it's just that consciousness. You become conscious. That's it. Nothing. Just the pure consciousness without the contact going in. But because human being has the brain, our brain is the organ that is responsible for our accumulation of experiences. Whatever life experiences that you experience will be accumulated into your brain, maybe good or bad. So this accumulation of experiences is the one that created the memory bank inside. Because our brain is full of memory cells. So when the memories are there, when you retrieve it through making contact with the brain, that's why every moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought consciousness, the human being, they always reside their consciousness at the forehead where the brain is. So that from there, it can trigger off the content of consciousness. So thought being response to memory, it will trigger off, it will come off. But our brain is the accumulation of not only experiences. Through this accumulation of experiences, good or bad, we created our own views and opinion, our conditioning, our belief system, our tradition, our whatever that we hold on to, like our race, our religion, our traditional belief system, all this, they become part and parcel of memory. So these views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, and whatever that we hold on inside our brain, which is the result of all the conditioning over the years that we have gone through life. And this is the bundle of memories with its views, opinion, and conditioning that we act from. So that's like acting from memory is not acting at all, because this memory, which is your views, opinion, and conditioning, they are not wisdom. They don't have right view because they lack enlightenment, awakening. So before you are enlightened, before you are awakened, your memory is full of all this, what they call conditioning, views, opinion, and all. That's the reason why when you see something, or you hear something, smell something, taste something, or tactile, feel something, you will react and stir your mind according to what you believe in, according to your views, your opinion, your habitual tendency, and the way you perceive that reality. That's how you label it, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. That's how your mind stir and react to whatever you see. So all these are dualities that arise through our views, opinion, and conditioning. That's the reason why the mental hindrance of sensual desire and ill will arise. And what are they? They are your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. So if throughout the day, every moment of sense experience, you stir your mind and develop this until it becomes habitual, then this habitual tendency, which is from your memory, will continue to stir your mind, make you heedless, give rise to heedlessness that leads to the lack of peace, lack of inner peace, inner calmness, and you are not able to be aware of what is going on. Well, when you stir your mind, you become emotional. Then it will affect you. Then you are lost in thought, preoccupied with what you are thinking and your emotion. That's how you experience the world. That's how you get yourself entangled. That's how you create mental hindrance. And what are mental hindrance? Mental hindrance are mind states that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's the reason why when you have mental hindrance, you cannot meditate because you lack the opposite five spiritual faculties. When you lack the opposite five spiritual faculties, mental hindrance arise. Not only the first two, even the fourth one, especially restlessness. When you have problem, you have fear, worry, anxiety, your mind becomes restless. Your mind cannot settle down because you worry a lot. You got unresolved issue, unfinished problem. Especially for those who break their precept, violates the moral code, the nature's law. So all this triggers mental hindrance. Then you start to have restlessness of mind, born of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. Then when you don't understand, you start to have fear, you start to have doubt. Then when you are very tired, when you don't see the importance of life, the thing that you are involved in, you start to become sleepy. That's how sloth and torpor, the third mental hindrance, come to be. So all these five mental hindrances, they will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. Your lack of peace, your heedlessness arise because of this mental hindrance. That's the reason why the Buddha emphasized a lot on the understanding of mental hindrance. And the first category of cultivation within the fourth foundation of mindfulness, which is Dhamma Nupassana, is mindfulness of the five mental hindrances. If you cannot be mindful of them, you cannot meditate. You cannot develop the wisdom because you will not be able to understand how the unarisen mental hindrance comes to be. But when you are mindful, you have the awareness, you can observe, and you can understand how the unarisen mental hindrance come to be. Because before they arise, the mental hindrance were not there. Then how did they arise? Because you stir your mind, you react and come through. That is the result of your memory, your views, your opinion, your habitual tendency, your whatever conditioning, which is all from your brain, the memory. That's the reason why acting according to memory is not acting at all. Because memory is full of views, opinion, conditioning, and also your belief system. And it also carry along your phobia, your insecurity, your belief system, everything that you accumulate within your brain. Then even your selfishness, your wrong view, your emotional negativity, and all of the negativity of mind states, they are all accumulated. So when you act from there, you are acting with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's the reason why you become heedless. You will trigger on the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion with every moment of sense experience. That's the reason why you become heedless. And with that, you cannot live long. You will entangle yourself and create a lot of wrong thought, leading to all the sorrow, lamentation. Because wrong thoughts are thought that condition your fear, your worry, your sorrow, your lamentation, your unhappiness, your misery, including your evil roots of selfishness, greed, covetousness, desire, lust, jealousy, envy, craving, desire, leading to all the grasping, clinging, and the holding on to a lot of things which you believe they are real. That's how suffering comes to be. Craving is the cause of suffering. A craving born of attachment, clinging, grasping, which is also the result of self-delusion. Because when you have self-delusion, you believe the physical body and mind, the human being is real. You believe you exist. That's how you arise the personality, the egoic mind. And from there, you want to own things, possess things. That's how selfishness comes to be. And the evil roots of greed arise. Then when you cannot get what you want, you become emotional, you become unhappy. That's how the evil root of anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, they arise. Then when you don't have the understanding, when you have delusion, you will have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. That's how suffering arises. So the three evil roots are root of all evil, make you evil. So meditation is to reverse all this, to understand all this through observation with mindfulness, with awareness. When we can see ourselves, our own form and mind, conditioning us and causing us to react to sense experience and to become evil, to become heedless, then what must we do? We must straighten our view. We must reverse all this. We must develop heedfulness. We must develop the opposite five spiritual faculties so that we can become mindful, aware within the moment, so that our mind is in the meditative state all the time, ever mindful, constantly meditating, so that we can cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. This is what meditation is all about. So the 18 sense rhyme will help us understand all this, because we operate and function as a human being through the senses. Without the senses, we are like a vegetable. We are dead. So the senses help us. The senses will trigger off the respective six types of sense door consciousness. When we can become conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think, then we arise. We become animated into a human being. Then we can have life experiences. We can experience the world. That's how we come to know the world. That's how we interact with the world. And that's how we function as a human being. We are the consciousness trapped inside, together with the six sense bases and the external six sense data, trigger of the respective six type of sense door consciousness. Three times six equals 18. That's the reason why we call it the 18 sense line. And that's what the Buddha's teaching is all about. So now we will go back to the short notes. All the short notes that we have under chapter 32, then you will understand. The 18 sense rhyme consists of three sets of six. So now it's very easy to understand. The first set of six refers to the six internal sense organ or sense bases. Then the second set of six refer to the six external sense data. Then the third set of six refer to the respective six types of sense door consciousness. So understanding this 18 sense rhyme can lead to wisdom, can lead to the understanding of how we know the world and how we interact with the world, plus how we function as a human being, leading to the understanding of who you are, what you are. So understanding the form and mind in this way via the 18 sense rhyme is very important. And to do it, you need to be mindful, you need to be aware, you need to silence your mind to observe. Through thought, you can't. Thought is knowledge. When you are thinking, you are lost in thought. When you are preoccupied with what you are thinking, how can you be aware? How can you be with the moment to understand what is going on? So you have to silence completely. And that is what mindfulness is all about. To be mindful is to be aware before the arising of the aggregates of mind or the thought process. That's why mindfulness is an awareness that is full of wisdom, energy, and clarity. That one can awaken. that one can develop the understanding, allow you to straighten your view, allow you to understand clearly who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human being.